manifesting his power in different ways, but he is still as alive and working as he's ever has been. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Mark chapter 6, if you find the place, you can stand with us if you will and able. And if you're not able, it's fine. You can be seated. No sin in that. The Mark chapter number 6, and let's read verse 7 through verse number 13. And then we'll end the message later on in the text. I'll show you a couple more verses that I think will tie everything together. The Bible said, and he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. He said unto them, in what place soever ye enter in an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, now you need to listen to this. Amen. If you're here today and you're lost and you have been rejecting the message of salvation, you've been rejecting Christ, here's what Christ said. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. They went out and preached that men should repent. That's a message you ain't hearing a lot of in these days, but it's still needed. The Bible said they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Let's go ahead and read two more verses later on in the text. Jump down to verse number 30. The Bible said, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. Now, there's a whole nother insert that has been put in there, verses 14 through 29, concerning the death of John the Baptist and Herod and his conscience and his sin. Verse number 30, these 12, they're gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. Amen. And I'll leave off our reading there. We'll try to get it that far this morning if the Lord will help us. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, one more time this Lord's Day, as we did early this morning, and Lord, several times through the night, and Lord, in the prayer room a little while ago, throughout the opening of the Sunday school hour, and even throughout this service, Lord, we've asked you to help us. Lord, we want to pause one more time, and Lord, ask you that, Lord, you would use this portion of the Word of God, this message today. Lord, may it be clear and plain. Lord, may it strike a chord in the hearts of men and women and young folk, Lord, that are gathered in this place today. Lord, those that are lost and undone, I pray that you would work in them and that, Lord, you would draw them by the Spirit of the Lord and the sound of the Word of God. You said faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Lord, I pray this morning that you would, Lord, send, Lord, a hearing of the Word of God that would produce faith, that faith would be active and not passive today, but Lord, bringing salvation to sinners' lives. Then, Lord, as we'll preach this morning, primarily to those that are saved, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be stirred, Lord, to hear the call of God and, Lord, to fulfill the will of God in our life, Lord, to serve you along this way. Lord, all that you do for sinner and saint alike, all you do to help this feeble and weak man of God, Lord, I'll be careful to bless you and to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you'll bear with me, we'll work up in a preaching gear this morning, but Christ's ministry thus far in Mark's record as we preach through it has been mainly in what is known the Galilee region of Israel. Israel in the days of Christ were divided in three sectors or regions, if you will. To the south, you had Judea. the middle region of Israel. And by the way, Judea, that's where Jerusalem is. That's where the Lord will end his ministry, is in the southern part of the kingdom of Israel. In the middle section is that place that is known as Samaria. In Samaria dwelt those who were the half-breeds and the rejects of the society of Israel. And Christ would minister throughout his earthly life and ministry at times in that place. The place that he began his ministry primarily is this region known as Galilee. Many of the things the Lord did and the ways that he was received was in this region. Judah represented the religious sector and the political sector of the kingdom of Israel. Again, Samaria was the rejects, but Galilee was that place of the common man. It's where the fishermen lived. It's where the builders and the carpenters had. And men and families that just had a modest means of living lived their life. This was the place that Christ fulfilled a lot of ministry and done a lot of miracles and operated as even a home base for all that he would do in the 3.5 years of his public ministry. He and his disciples, they have been moving and ministering together as one unit. But now in our verses we've read today, they are going to divide as Christ divides them 2 and 2 in order to finish effectively reaching this northern realm of the kingdom of Israel. He's literally going to reach every city in Galilee. He's over 20 main cities and villages that were scattered throughout that region. And though Christ has been effective on his own and folk have heard about him and come to where he is and he's healed a lot of people and preached to multitudes and done wondrous things, he is now going to take these men that have been joined to him, known as his disciples or the 12 or the apostles, and he's going to send them out so that he can reach even more people and hasten on his ministry. As we study the remainder of the Gospel of Mark in the coming days or months or the rate we're going, Brother Mike, years. Amen. When we reach Mark chapter number 10 and in verse number 1, we find the Lord's ministry in Galilee will come to a close. And that he will now find himself in Judea and around Jerusalem there all the way to the day of his death, burial, and resurrection. So in this text, hastening on, this text deals with the specific call of the 12 into their apostleship. And we understand the apostles and the importance that they play in the founding of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he being the head, but they being the foundation upon which the church would be raised and would be built. And these men, we understand, are men who are diverse in nature and in personality, diverse in background and all that they offered, but they're going to be called in this place to their apostleship that they might spread the message of the kingdom of Christ. They're going to preach the same message as John the Baptist and of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of God is nigh and it is at hand, and that they must repent, and they're being sent to prepare the way of the Lord. And so they're going to spread this message of the gospel of the kingdom. There's much that we could draw from this text beyond the call of the apostles. I believe tonight there's a lot, or this morning rather, there's a lot that can be drawn from this simply of the call of God upon a man's life to preach. Amen. I still believe God calls men to preach. Amen. God calls men into the ministry. Amen. Paul said every time that he would write to a local church that, amen, he was called to be an apostle and called to be a servant. And on one occasion, Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord that he counted me worthy, putting me into the ministry. And so we believe when it comes to a man of God, there is a call of God that, amen, God extends to that man, and, amen, placing him into the ministry of Christ. Amen. A man doesn't take on the ministry because, Amen. His mama called and daddy sent. He must have the call of God upon his life. Amen. One preacher jokingly said one day, amen, and it should have earned him a smack upside of his head. Amen. He said, I think God's calling my grandson to preach because he woke up this week craving chicken and had no desire to work. Amen. Well, if that's what constitutes a man's call, amen, God help us in this day. Amen. The call into the ministry is a call of God. Amen. It's not a call to eat chicken and be lazy. It is, amen, a call into ministry, a call into the service of the Lord. A man doesn't take that on in his own accord. He doesn't do it because he feels like doing it. Amen. And we learn that. We can learn that even in this text. Amen. That there is some truths about the call of God upon a man's life. Amen. To preach the gospel. But what I want to do this morning, I want to take, amen, I want to take another step back from the specific call of the apostles and some application of God's call upon a man's life to preach. And what I want to do today in taking the step back from both of these approaches and look at this text as a picture of the call of God to all His children to serve Him in ministry. I'm not denying there's not a specific call upon the apostles of the early church. And we believe that there was a time the ministry and the office of apostleship was relevant and needed and given for revelation of truth. We believe those days have passed. We believe God is still raising up pastors and evangelists and teachers, amen, and calling them into ministry, local church ministry, as a part of edifying the body of Christ and ministering to the spiritual needs of those that are called the children of God. And I want everybody to listen and listen well to what I'm about ready to say. It is the will of God for everybody that is saved, blood-bought, and claims to be of the family and of the children of God, and we would be servants of the Lord. That is the will of God. I don't care if you've been saved a few days or a lot of days. It is the will of God that we all be involved in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't save anybody to be a bench warmer. He doesn't save anybody to stand on the sideline, amen, and just be observers of the ministry. It is the will of God that everybody find their place in the work of God, amen, and find where God would have them to labor at. Amen. We don't all do the same thing. We don't all have the same gift. Amen. We don't all have the same talents and the same abilities. Amen. But you listen what I'm going to say today. If you have a talent, amen, God gave you a talent and God gave you an ability. Amen. Not to be measured by how that is used by somebody else. Amen. But for you to use it the best way you can, your abilities to be involved in the local ministry of the church. I believe that's right. Amen. Many churches are dying out. Amen. Many churches are dead. Many churches are doing without a lot of things that, amen, God has equipped the ministry to be able to do by the people that He has saved, by the lives that He has granted in the membership of that church. Amen. That they can be a blessing and a help and involved in the work of God if they would simply hear, amen, the call of God to be involved in the ministry of Christ. So what I can do is not as good as somebody else can do. I'm glad the call of God is not based upon, amen, our great abilities and our, amen, our ability to perform it. It, amen, is simply based on what do I have that Christ would desire to use it. Amen, not my ability so much as my availability. Amen, to say I will do and be involved in the ministry of the Lord. Amen. I believe that's right. So I'm not involved, well, shame on you. I don't have a place. Well, have you tried to find your place? Amen. So we want to look at this matter of this text in light of the picture of the call of God to all of us to be involved in this ministry. Now, for our thought this morning, let me give you this, that what I want to note is that Christ, in describing the mission to which He is sending the 12, notice how He describes it in verse number 8, and commanded them that they should take nothing, what's the next three words, for their journey. The mission, the ministry, what He is calling and sending them to do, He described it as their journey. This is your journey. What you are going to be doing, it is a journey. That word journey, it has the idea of the meaning of a path or road of travel from one place to another. Amen. I believe this morning that, amen, we can envision this and get a hold of this in the words of Christ. Amen. Often He spake of the life that we live as being on a road or traveling. Amen. Being on a journey. Amen. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, amen, in warning people, amen, of that place, entering in at the wide gate and getting on the broad way. Yeah. And what He's describing is a journey of a lost man's life. Amen. He said many have entered in through the wide gate, and many are living their life traveling and journeying on the Broadway. Amen. He said, though there be many there, He said, the end is destruction. Amen. But He said, make sure that you enter in at the gate that is called Straight. Amen. He said, it may be a narrow way, but, amen, it is a journey that, amen, will take you from one place, and the destination, amen, is going to be eternal life. Amen. Over and over and over in the Word of God, we can illustrate that life is like living or walking a road, a path, amen, of taking our journey. And I say tonight that serving the Lord and being a child of God, amen, that is our journey. Amen. It's our journey. How are you journeying today? Amen. How are you walking with the Lord? How, amen, are you fulfilling the mission and the ministry, amen, of being on a journey with and for Jesus? Amen. I think about this term of their journey and the meaning of a path or a road of travel from one place to another. Really what it gives, and you'll find this if you do a word study on it, that it gives the idea of making progress. Amen. That we are progressing. That, amen, we are striving. We are succeeding. We are gaining ground. Amen. That, amen, we're not where we were. Amen. We're not where we were on yesterday. And we're not where we were this time last year. That we're on a journey. That serving the Lord is a journey. It is progress. It involves a learning. It involves, amen, some ups and downs, some turns and bends in the road. Amen. Sometimes there are some rough spots along the way. Amen. But this is our journey. Our mission, our service to the Lord is likened to that of a journey. Amen. Now listen, and this is where I want to go this morning. Amen. If one is to make progress and to arrive at their determined destination, what do they got to do? They got to follow directions.
Amen.
That's hard on us men. Amen. We don't like directions. And now in these days we're living in, amen, we don't even have to look at maps anymore and find the direction to get us, amen, from point A to point B. We just punch it in our phone. Amen. And Siri, she'll try to take you all the way to Nashville like she did yesterday. Amen. To get me back over here in East Tennessee from Florida. Amen. And I looked at that and I thought, dear God, Siri is in bad shape. Amen. You talking about, amen, going the long way home, man. Amen. And I didn't like them directions. Amen. And us men, if we're kind of, amen, turned around, we just keep fumbling around and go down this road and this alleyway. Amen. This dirt road, and we'll eventually make our way to where we're going to go.
Amen. But if you want to get where you're going at, amen, be frugal with your time. Amen. And make a good journey and arrive safely. Amen. My friend, you're going to have to heed the directions. Amen. And can I say, I believe in this text. Amen. That if we can draw anything out of it, whether it's the apostles or it's your pastor and other men of God being called to ministry, or whether it's just the children of God trying, amen, to involve themselves in serving Jesus, amen, we can learn from this text that these are Christ's directions for our journey. And so for a minute this morning, this thing's growing in my heart, but amen, what we find here are the principles of direction for living our Christian journey. And so I'm going to preach on that this morning, if the Lord will help me, on simply directions for the journey. Amen, directions for the journey. Preacher, if it's a journey and I need directions, what are those directions? Amen. Now, we don't find where Christ said, go down the old oak tree and turn around. And then you go down a little ways yonder, amen, down the babbling brook. And when you cross the bridge, hang a left. And then when you pass old Uncle Tom's place, amen, when you see that, you're getting mighty close. It's not those kind of directions. Amen. They are spiritual directions. Amen. They are preparations that Christ is giving to them, whereby, my friend, they will know, amen, how to arrive through their journey to their determined destination. Amen. And so let me give you four directives in this text, amen, that keep us progressing in our journey. Is there anybody you want to be a little further down the road 3 months from now? Amen. Is there anybody here that wants to succeed, amen, in your service as a child of God? Are you not tired of just being a pew warmer? Amen. Are you not tired of just sitting in the nosebleed section with your binoculars on and observing what is going on the field? Amen. I hope this morning, amen, we get a desire in our heart that says, amen, I can do more and I should do more, amen, in serving the Lord. Amen. He saved me and put me on a journey. Amen. And that journey is my Christian duty. Amen. And so let me give you a few things this morning. Let me say, number one, amen, here's a direction for the journey. Amen. I think this text teaches us about being responsive to Christ. Of being responsive to Christ. And now these men, these 12, amen, these are men save one that had been saved. Amen. We understand Judas had never been born again. Amen. We understand he was a devil from the beginning. Amen. And so he has his lot among the 12. Amen. For another spiritual purpose. Amen. But 11 out of these 12 men had been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Amen. They had heard him preach, repent, and believe the gospel. And indeed, they were struck in their heart and had been saved by that message. Amen. These men had not only been saved. We read about some of them in Mark 1. And we read about others in Mark chapter number 2. Amen. We read about how the Lord collected them in salvation. Amen. Throughout the other gospel records. Amen. These are men who had been saved. In Mark chapter number 3, if you'll remember when we preached there, amen, the Bible said, after a long day of ministry, and Christ resorted on the mountain and he began to pray. And as he prayed, he began to call to him whom he would. And the Bible said that he ordained 12, and they should be with him. And so in that text, we find they're not only saved, amen, but they are separated. Amen, they are ordained that they should be with him. Amen, that they would walk with him and learn from him and be prepared for him for, amen, a time in which he would use their life directly. And then in their text, we find they're not only saved men and separated men, but we find in their text that they are summoned. Amen, the Bible said, and he called unto him the 12. himself. Amen. Those that have been saved and those that have been separated. The Lord says in his time, amen, that you hear the call one more time. Amen. Not the call of salvation and not a call unto separation. Amen. But a call whereby I am summoning you, amen, to become more than you ever thought you could be. Amen. Can I say I'm glad? Amen. The Lord still calls his own. Amen. If you're here today and you're saved, you know something about, amen, when he calls you by name and salvation. Amen. And if you've truly been saved and serious about that, amen, he has called you at times unto separation. Amen. And every child of God that's ever been saved, amen, has been called to live a separated life. Amen. But now the Lord said, amen, it ain't enough that you're saved and know about me and know about the kingdom. Amen. I am summoning you to myself, amen, to challenge you to step it up. Amen. And then we find not only are they saved and separated, and now we're summoned, but they soon will be sent. Amen. He's going to send them out. Amen. He's going to send them away from himself. He's going to send them away from their hometowns and their friends. Amen. And send them by the will of God. Amen. With a ministry of servanthood and service in his ministry. Amen. Can I say that? Amen. The call of Christ in this verse. Amen. It was a directive that demanded a response. He called unto him the 12. Ye that are saved, come to me. You that have been separated, come, amen, to me again. Amen, a summoning and a soon to be sent. Amen, a call was sent out. And you see, when he called, they came. And where he sent, listen, they gladly went. They didn't stove up on the Lord. They didn't cross arms and said, no. No friend, these men, amen, in directions for the journey, amen, they illustrate to you and I, amen, that when the Lord calls, we ought to be listening. And when the Lord calls, we ought to respond to that call. And whatever is involved in that call, whatever the will of God is for our life, we ought to be willing to gladly do and go where God sends us.
Amen.
It's not our life.
That's right.
We've been bought with a price.
Amen.
You're not your own anymore.
Right.
Somebody said, well, I'm going to do what I feel like doing. Show me where you have that right in the Word of God.
Amen.
Your responsibility as a saved child of God, amen, is to yield to the Lord. Amen. When he calls you to respond to the call, amen, and to gladly do what God sends you to do.
Amen.
Make a statement this morning. Every call of God, are y'all listening? Every call of God is an opportunity to respond to him and live your life in his will. You need to write that down in your heart. Every call of God is an opportunity for me and you as children of God to respond to the Lord and to fulfill his will for our life.
Amen.
I'm in the perfect will of God this morning.
Amen.
Doing what I'm doing, standing where I'm fulfilling the will of God, I can say today, amen, it's all the perfect will of God for my life. You say, preacher, how does that happen? How has a child of God attained to that? Amen, you must be responsive to Christ. Amen, you must be willing. You must be, amen, listening for his call. You must be willing, amen, to fulfill what he tells you to do. Amen, to respond to him. Amen, to be responsive to Christ. Don't ever sit down on your journey and say, I'm going as far as I'm going to go. Amen. If you've been saved, amen, listen, he has something for you to do.
Amen.
There are people that are outside of the will of God today because somewhere along the way they sat down, they quit listening for Christ, amen, much less responding to what he was telling them. And today their life is lived, amen, just barely getting by because they've lost a sense of being responsive to Christ.
Amen.
It's good preaching this morning.
Amen.
Be responsive to Christ. What has he told you in his word and in your heart that you're to do that you've said no?
Amen.
I won't do that because, listen, it don't matter what your because is.
Amen.
The minute you say no, you have sat down in your journey. You will never go any farther. You will never be anything more. You'll never have any more joy than you have today. Amen. You'll be miserable. You'll be a wreck. Amen. You'll live the rest of your spiritual days out. Amen. Wishing there was some joy to this thing of being a Christian. Amen. And others will be shouting and others will be laughing and others, amen, will have a fulfillment and a satisfaction. Amen. That you will never know anything about because you quit responding to Christ.
Amen.
I'm telling you, our churches are filled with people who are not heeding the direction of being responsive to Christ. Number two. Amen. I can tell y'all are enjoying this. Amen. Be responsive to Christ, but be relying upon Christ.
Amen.
Jesus begins to give some instruction in the directions that he's giving them. Now you would think if you're on a journey, you're going to need some food and you're going to need some money. Amen. You're going to need to make some plans and you're going to need, amen, some provisions along the way. Amen. But what Christ begins to deal with him about is, I have called you, you've responded, and now, amen, I'm going to send you out. But in these directions, he says to them, it is going to be a life on this road and this journey. Amen. Though you're going to be sent out on your own away from me. Amen. He is calling upon them to live a life of faith.
Yes, sir.
That though Christ is in another place, they are yet depending on him to meet their needs.
Amen.
So Christ begins to give them some, amen, in these directions. He's giving them some things that they are to rely upon, amen, in this journey that they are in. Amen. These are gifts that Christ has given. Amen. These are things he has promised to them. Amen. They are the things we really need, beyond money and beyond food and beyond, amen, an extravagant and elaborate wardrobe. Amen. Christ said, leave all that behind, amen, and get ready to go, amen, and depend upon me and what I give you. So what did he get them? Number one, they're to rely upon, amen, I love this, and Brother Tim hit on it a little bit this morning, but they were to rely upon the partnerships Christ gave them.
Amen.
The Bible said he didn't send them out one by one, and in fact, Matthew records this event, and Luke does. Mark is the only one that Brother David makes the distinction and gives the information that when Christ sent them out on their journey, he did by two and two. The Greek word there is duo. Amen. One author I read after, he said these were the first dynamic duos. I believe that's right. And so he sends them out two by two. Why? Amen. Because that was part, amen, of what they were to rely upon. Amen. They weren't going to have to rely upon their strength alone. Amen. But Christ paired these men in teams of two and two. Amen. Meaning that, amen, he knit them together in their journey. They weren't the only one in their journey. Can I remind you this morning, you're not the only one trying to live this journey of faith.
Amen.
Believe the primary purpose of this two and two business likely is to fulfill the requirements of the law for every testimony to be established by the words of at least two witnesses. You read about that in Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. And in chapter 19 and verse 15, and Moses reiterated in Numbers 35 and in verse number 30, amen, that every testimony, every giving of truth, and the law required that, amen, it be established in the mouth of two witnesses. And so in Christ, gentlemen, is literally fulfilling the law. Amen. And as one testifies, the other testifies. Amen. As one magnifies Christ, the other stands and says, amen. That's right. That's exactly right. Amen. In fulfilling that matter of the law. But in a very practical way, in a very practical application, amen, these duo teams of servants, amen, listen, they provided encouragement, companionship, and help in fulfilling their journey. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 4 and in verse number 9, amen, the Solomon said, two are better than one. You'll never fulfill your journey being a lone wolf, being a lone ranger. Amen. I understand we say sometimes you got to walk alone, but it's the will of God that you find some people of like-minded faith and belief and desire to serve the Lord and let God knit your heart to them. Amen. Solomon would go on to say in Ecclesiastes 4 and in verse number 10, at the reason two are better than one, that if one falls, amen, if he's alone, there's nobody to help bring him back up. And if he has a friend, if, amen, there's somebody walking by his side, amen, if you fall, you have somebody, amen, that can help you and encourage you, amen, and get you up and shake the dust off, amen, so that you ain't stuck without being able to progress along your journey. Amen. I think about these teams and the way Christ sent them out two and two. Amen. What that must have been like. How did he pair them? Amen. These men, they don't all have the same personalities. Be downright honest with you, some of them's jerks. God said, I want this one with that one. Maybe one of them said, I don't even like him. Lord said, I didn't ask you if you liked him. I just told you get after serving me with him. Ain't it amazing how the Lord puts us together? I was talking with Betty this morning before the Sunday school hour. We was talking about the church and the people God has sent. And she made this statement. She said, all these new people said they're so friendly. And y'all are. Now, I have thought on this so many days and so many times over the last year that the folk God has sent our way and brought into this church, amen, that by and large, it's like you've always been here. You just fit in so well and are knit so tightly. Amen. Like it ain't like you just showed up last year. It's like you've always been a part of the family. Amen. Can I say that's what God can do? Amen. In this journey, he brings people into our life. Amen. That he knits to our heart. He knits to the ministry. Amen. And we're not to be isolated. We're not. Amen. To be people that think we don't need help along the way. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. Amen. We all are going to need some help somewhere in this journey. The reason some are not making it or not serving, amen, they've taken the wrong friend into their bosom. They don't have a friend that is interested in serving the Lord. Amen. But these men, they all had a desire. They had all responded to Christ. They were all glad, amen, just to try to do something for the Lord. Amen. They don't need each other. I don't have time to deal with all of it. I'm running way out of time. I'm bogging down. But that's all right. I feel like the Lord's going to help somebody. You read what Matthew said. Matthew gives the longest account of the preparation and the teaching and the instruction and directions that Christ gave the disciples. Very lengthy section in Matthew chapter number 10. Brother Mike, when the Lord set them boys down, here's what he said. Amen. He said, y'all getting ready to face some things. They're going to scourge you. They're going to talk bad about you. They're going to mistreat you. They're going to throw you in prison. That fellas, y'all are getting ready to have some things come your way that is going to be hardships on your life.
Yes, sir. Yes. Amen.
But you're not alone. I put somebody in your life to go through it with you. And I just say this morning, I'm glad in my journey God's put some people in my life, some friends and some Christians and some folk that, amen, all they want to do is serve the Lord. Amen, when I'm weak, they're there to encourage me. Amen, when I'm discouraged, they cheer me on. Amen, there's been a lot of days. Amen, I've been down and I've been nearly knocked out. Amen, and some friend, some family companion, some, amen, comrade in the service of the Lord, amen, will send a text right at the right time to say, I just want you to know I'm praying for you this morning, preacher. Amen, you're helping me and I'm glad to serve the Lord with you. Amen, you say, preacher, what is all of that about? Amen, we're to be in this thing together.
Amen.
So I don't need nobody. You need people more than you think you do. So everybody, I get hurt every time I get close to somebody. Amen. Everybody listen up in here. If that's the case, it ain't everybody else. Amen. That's the problem. There's one common denominator. If we get a hold of what Brother Tim taught this morning, we'd be able to serve the Lord together and just go on. I'm not saying we're always going to see eye to eye and always get along. Dear God, help us to realize we need one another.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know why I'm hung up right here so bad, Brother Jack. Amen. I got so much more to get to. We may have to just end right here. Amen. If you ain't careful, you'll go through some hardships. How'd you like to be paired with Judas in this bunch? How'd you like to have to serve with a betrayer? How'd you like to be paired with Peter? You say, oh, Peter's a mighty man. Not at this point in his life. He's not. He's a man that'll swear loyalty and allegiance. And before the rooster crows, he's denying and he's walking away. These are not extraordinary men. These are ordinary men with flaws and weaknesses and, my friend, issues and things that need worked out. Yet the Lord said, you got to do it together.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say today, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen.
You can say what you want about the church, and I understand there ain't no hurt like church hurt. Ain't nothing like it in all the world. Amen. I've been hurt more times than I can even count and even than I can remember. I won't go on record and say the people of God's the best people to serve, amen, and go through life's journey with than anybody I know. You can have the folk out on the dance halls with the dancing knees and the cussing mouths. Amen. Give me the people of God. They're the greatest people on earth.
Amen.
So we got to rely upon the partnerships that He gives. Number two, rely upon the power He gives. The Bible said that and He gave them power over unclean spirits. Amen. There's going to be things that come after them. There's going to be things that stand in their way. But He gave them a power outside of their own. Amen. I wrote it down this way. Christ empowers these ordinary men so that through His power they might have extraordinary ministry.
Amen.
How do ordinary men have extraordinary ministries?
Amen.
The only way that can happen, there must be a power upon which they rely upon.
Amen.
That is greater than their own.
Amen.
Rely upon the power that Christ gave. Relying upon the provisions that He gives. Notice what He said. You say, preacher, provisions. He said they should take nothing for their journey. In other words, the Lord is saying, amen, the Lord is, they are directed here by the Lord to lighten their load. Amen, their burden is to be light. Amen, He doesn't want, listen now, He doesn't want a lot of things attached to them and dragging them down.
Amen.
I say this morning, the reason many are unable to progress in their spiritual journey, they're too bogged down and burdened down with the things of this world. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. If you're going to fight a good fight of faith, there's some things you got to get out of your life. These are not even sinful things, Brother Larry. There's nothing wrong with having money, but he said don't take none. There's nothing wrong with having meat and food to eat, but he said don't take a sandwich with you. What about that? Why? Because what he is saying is I'm going to provide for you all along the way if you'll just rely upon my provisions. And I say he knows how to take care of those who will serve him. He knows how to do it. Amen. I thought about this. There's a wondrous picture in all the things that he says they're not to take. He does. Amen. Say you can have the sandals that are on your feet. And you can take one coat with you. You don't need two. Just take one. Amen. But notice what the Bible said again in verse number 8. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only. In fact, he commands that they take a staff. A staff is a lean-to. It's a prop. It's what a man uses. Said, amen, when he's getting weary in the way and he's getting tired because of the miles that he has gone, that, amen, he can take that staff and he can lean in upon that staff and get a little bit of rest for a little while. And I say that in that staff that they take, I see a wonderful picture of their reliance upon Christ. Hey, amen. He is their staff. He is their lean-to. He is the one that they fall into when they are weary. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, today. Amen. Yeah, the miles get long and sometimes it certainly gets weary. But I'm glad I've got one I'm a dependent upon. Amen. I've found shelter in the arms of my Savior. Amen. He's been a staff that's been strong. And when the load and the burden and the hardship is more than head and handle in the moment, I'm glad I've got a staff I can lean upon. Hey man, I don't know if that helps you. It makes me want to, hey man, run out the building, just run laps this morning. Hey man, I'm glad I got one I can lean on. Hey man, because I get weak. Hey man, I do get weary. And there are times I don't feel like I can take another step. I'm glad in them times, he said, just rest a minute. Amen. I don't know how much hiking you've ever done, but when you get out, amen, in nature and you hike, but Jack's done a fair share of hiking, after a while you get tired. I don't care how strong you are, how conditioned you are. You walk far enough up and down the mountainside, you're going to get a little tired. I've learned when you get out and you hike, amen, about when you get tired, if you just prop up on something, it don't even take long. Just in that moment of leaning up on something, amen, it won't take long. The body gets a little more strength built back up in it. You can walk a little while further. Yeah, you're going to get tired again somewhere down the road. But Brother Ronnie, ain't you glad we got a staff in our life? Amen, we've got a Savior that has provided, amen, a source of rest and refreshment along the way. Reliance upon Christ. Be responsive to Christ and relying upon Christ. I'll just throw these last couple out and I'll be done. Be relentless for Christ. He said in verse 10 and 11, really, and I won't even read it all, but he gives the expectation to the 12 that they will be both received and rejected.
Amen.
He said there are going to be some people along the way, they're going to bring you into their house and they're going to let you stay with them. Received. He said, they're going to be some that ain't going to receive you. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 10, again, this preparation of the 12 was given. In it was given the guarantee that hardships and mistreatments are going to come. They're going to be persecuted. They are going to experience some things along the way that are going to be difficult. Amen. They're going to run into hard people. They are going to run into rejection. They're going to be betrayed. Amen. There are people that it's going to look like they're going to receive them that are going to turn on them. They're not going into it with any kind of fairy tales. Christ didn't promise them an easy journey. In fact, he promised them a very difficult and a very hard and a very in and of themselves impossible journey. But notice what verse number 12 said. They went out in light of all that Christ had guaranteed concerning, amen, the journey and what they were going to face. Amen. Any normal-minded man, any carnal-minded man would have said, I want nothing to do with that. I don't want that kind of life. I don't want that kind of treatment. I don't want to endure those kind of things. But the Bible said they went out anyway.
Amen.
They counted it an honor that if such things would happen to them, that they could suffer for their master. The hardships came. The trials came. Things no doubt unimaginable had struck their life. And yet, my friend, when we read of all that, amen, Christ tells them, we understand that, amen, they, team by team, two by two, amen, went out and they fulfilled their journey. Amen, they progress. They reach their destination. Amen, how do you do that? You're going to have to be relentless for Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say this. You can't be a spiritual sissy. Amen. I feel a mean streak coming on. Amen. We would say it back when I was a, amen, back when I was a young person, quit being a pansy. Ain't no room in this thing of serving the Lord for spiritual pansies. People, men are always offended and always talking about being done wrong and being mistreated. If that's your focus, if, amen, that's all you can see in serving the Lord, amen, it won't be long. The hardships are going to make you sit down. Amen, you'll disqualify. You'll get out of the journey He set you on.
Amen.
If you've got a relentlessness that says, I don't care what smacks me in the face. I don't care what they do to me. I am not in this for their approval. I am not in this to be accepted. I'm in this because He has called me and He has sent me and He's put His touch on my life. Amen. This is what I do for the Master. You'll get a relentlessness for Christ. Amen. That 20 years from now, you'll still be serving the Lord. Oh yeah, a lot further down the road and a lot further into your journey. But you'll still be after it if you got some relentlessness.
Amen.
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 I like what Jesus said. He said, now when they mistreat you and they reject you, Lord said, shake the dust off your feet. I couldn't help when I was studying this. How many of y'all remember? Lord, I got to quit. How many of y'all remember several years back? It's like my first or second year here. We had the feller slip in and choir sang. And amen, he jumped up and started testifying. It wasn't long. He was out there in the charismatic fields of doctrine. Amen. I had to stand up here and say, thank you, sir. You can have your seat. We appreciate you being here today. Y'all remember him stomping his feet all the way out the door? Amen. He thought he was fulfilling Mark chapter number 6. Amen. Y'all, some of y'all wasn't here. Some of y'all don't remember it. Amen. Some of y'all was sick that day. Amen. But that's why y'all to show up at church every service. You don't ever know what crazy nuts going to come in the building. Amen. Jesus said, if they reject you, shake it off.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, sir. That's right. Yeah.
If they do you wrong, shake it off.
Amen.
Don't dwell on it. Don't think you little fub. Shake it off. Just keep on walking for me.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm telling you, that takes a boldness, head. That takes a relentlessness, head. That takes some guts, amen, to say, amen, no matter how I'm done, no matter what comes or goes, or amen, how I am received, hey, amen, will just shake off the hard times.
Amen, amen.
Oh, preacher, you talk about fairy tale. That's all easy to preach. It's hard to live, and I understand that to a point, but that's really what Jesus is saying. Amen. There are some people still hanging on to rejection and betrayal and hurt feelings and bad relationships ending 20 years after the fact. When are you going to shake it off?
Amen.
I promise you, so long as you're holding on to that and focused on that, you ain't progressing in your journey.
Amen.
You need some relentlessness for Christ. Oh, I'd love to have time to preach point number four, not only be responsive to Christ and relying upon Christ and relentless for Christ. Almost last of all, last of the four points, but be reflective of Christ. The Bible said, and they, as they go out, as they went out, they not only preach it, men should repent. That takes boldness and relentlessness in and of itself. The Bible said they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. This is not a proof text for the validation of TBN.
Amen.
These are men who have been called of God, given the ability to do signs and wonders for unbelieving Israel to be without excuse for their rejection of the Messiah.
Amen.
Tongues and these miracles, according to 1 Corinthians 13, these things have ceased. That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
Don't mean God can't still heal. He does heal, and He does it through even a picture that is painted in this text. If any be sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, be anointed with oil. Amen. And we're to confess our sins and our faults to each other, and that the prayer, amen, of the righteous will save the sick.
Amen.
I believe in that. I've seen it work.
Amen.
But what I'm interested in, what they are doing, really is just a reflection of what they had been seeing Jesus do all along.
Amen.
Not the outward. That's not what I'm interested in. That's contained to that dispensation of Christ's ministry and through the book of Acts. But what I'm interested in is that as they go along their journey, what are they reflecting in doing this? Really, it is a reflection of the same pity and compassion and mercy that Christ showed to people in need.
Amen.
You want to know what Christ's directions are for your journey? It's to be a merciful child of God.
Amen.
When you see somebody in need, and I see somebody in need, it is not our objective to belittle them, ignore them, mock them, scorn them, and act as though they are beneath us.
Amen.
And I'm as bad as anybody in the building. I see the same crowd you do down at the mall. Amen. Walking around, look like they tripped and fell into my tackle box. Amen. Yep, piercings everywhere, and only God knows some of the places they pierced. I can only imagine. And don't want them. Somebody help me.
Amen.
You see people that look like they went through the Sherwin-Williams paint company and got sprayed. Got hair all sorts of all foolish colors. Sometimes I see that crowd and I go, what an idiot.
Yeah. Right.
Come on now, you can take your halo down.
Amen.
What an idiot. What a dum-dum. You're a dum-dum. That's what I want to go up to them and say something. You're a dum-dum. That ain't what Christ called us to do.
Amen.
They are people in need that need to have
a child of God that is in a journey with Christ and for Christ and is serving the Lord, that would reach out and show mercy, and pity, and compassion, knowing that had it not been for the grace of Christ, we could be in the same or worse shape that they themselves are in. You know what I've learned in watching these 26 years of being saved? People who get critical and unmerciful, they always bail out. They'll either bail out of the journey or they will themselves be the most miserable representation of Christ in the way. Most of the time, Brother Larry, they quit. They don't quit, they're miserable, and they make everybody around them miserable. I don't want to be that. I want to progress. Sam, I want to progress along the way, be successful in what Christ has called me to do. Well, I preached the four directions. Can I give you a closing thought? When I saw this week, amen, it was a night after one of the meetings. I'd sat down, I was reading, and I thought, let me look at Mark 6 a little bit, and it just leaped off the page. Christ sends them out, verse 7 through 13. They're sent out, they're on their own, they're out there, they're ministering, they're journeying. But I love what verse number 30 said. Look at it right there, Riley. Verse number 30. Don't miss it now. Read that for me.
And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus.
Right there. You know where their destination was? The presence of Christ.
Amen.
They're sent out on a journey. When did that journey end? It ended when they stepped into the presence of the Lord. I thought when I saw that, Brother Jack, I thought, you know what? One of these days our journey's going to be over.
Yes, sir.
One of these days we're going to serve for the last time. One of these days I'm going to preach my last sermon. One of these days I'm going to reach out to the last sinner. One of these days I'm going to give out my last tract. One of these days we're going to sing our last song. Hallelujah. One of these days we're going to gather in for the last time. Thank God the journey is going to end by all the team getting back together with Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. That make me want to run all the way back to Florida. Bang. Hey man, ain't you glad we on a journey? Yeah, it gets hard, but I can see old Peter tell Andrew, we can't quit now, brother. Hey man, one of these days he's going to call us back to himself. We heard him call when he saved us. We heard the call when he summoned us. And thank God he's going to call us home to be with him again. Just serve on. We don't know if it's going to be today or tomorrow. When he calls us to be with him, let's make sure we're doing what he told us to do. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad this journey ain't all there is. I'm enjoying it. I mean, I am enjoying the life and God has saved me and separated it and sent me to do. Don't you feel sorry for me?
Amen.
Poor old brother Jeff. Ain't no poor old brother Jeff. Shame on you.
Amen.
Amen. Had people come up to me and they try to give pity, and I appreciate some of the pity. Amen. If I'm wanting a pity party, it feels real good. You know, you've been through so much, preacher. Don't you feel sorry for me? Lord's been good to me in this journey. And if it's hardships every day, amen, the rest of the journey, amen, the day is coming. I'm going to hear another call. Amen. And we're going to step into his presence and be gathered together unto him. Amen. And Paul said all the sufferings in this life are not worthy to be compared to that day. Your journey's going to end one day. Just keep serving.
Yes, sir.
Stay involved. Stay relentless. Stay relaying. Amen. Stay responsive. Are you listening? Amen. Stay reflective of the love and the mercy and the Spirit of Christ. Amen. For the day is coming. He is going to call us to be to Him. Notice when they're called there, Isaac, the Bible said they told him all they had done and all they had taught. Draw your attention, amen, not only to a return, amen, out of this journey, but there is a review of this journey. I know I've gone long. I'm losing them like they dropping like flies. Y'all hang with me. There's not only a return, but there is a review. They had to give an account to the master for their journey. I don't mean, listen, you had your chance to shout there in the last 6 minutes. Amen. Let's knock all the stuffing out of us. Every one of us is going to give an account to the Lord for our journey.
Yes, sir.
He's going to make you tell all.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Some of us ain't going to have much to say. Lord, you know they done me wrong. You know they were done wrong, and yet when they told the Lord, the Bible said they told the Lord all they done and all they taught. They did not talk about all the hardships.
Amen.
They just talked about all the things they got to do for Jesus.
Amen.
See, there's a difference in a mentality of I have to do and I get to do. If you get to do, praise God, there's joy. And you just say, amen, oh, I get to serve the Lord. And on the day when we're called to give an account, we'll be able to do so with joy in our heart.
Amen.
Hopefully with joy in His heart, Brother Larry.
Amen.
Yes,
there is a review. Don't you leave here this morning thinking it don't matter how you walk in this journey.
Amen.
He's coming back. Amen. When He comes back, there's going to be a review. Oh, I got to give you one more. Notice there's a rest. The return and the review, they've been I don't know how many days. I don't know what all they encountered other than what Christ had promised was going to come their way. No doubt those things had unfolded. I don't know how tired they got in the way. I don't know how discouraged maybe at times they got. Amen. But somehow they kept plowing on and they kept plowing on and they kept preaching and they kept loving and they kept serving and they kept, amen, faithful to one another and to their master.
Amen.
Then the Lord said, after they reviewed all their journey, He said, y'all just come apart and rest a while.
Amen.
You know what heaven's going to be? A rest from our journey.
Amen.
I'm not complaining this morning. Sometimes the journey gets very, very long. It's not a complaint because there's joy in it and there's help in it and there's, amen, there's refreshment in it. But sometimes it does get long. Sometimes we sing and we pray, how long, O Lord? How long? And I tell you, He's going to come right on time.
Amen.
He is going to return to take us to be with Him. When we get the other side, I don't think I'm real excited about that review business.
Amen.
Heard Brother Sammy Allen say years ago, he was talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Talking about a man who would be up every morning, 3:30 and 4 o'clock in the morning, and praying for hours to begin his day. Made the statement, I'm afraid I ain't prayed enough. But I've got an answer for a prayerless life at the judgment seat of Christ. And he wasn't just talking. He said, I'm afraid. And I think, dear God, Brother Sammy, if you're unsure if you're ready for that, I'm real unsure if I'm ready for that.
Amen.
I ain't looking too much to that review business. Amen. I hope I'm not just, amen, saved yet so as by fire. I hope it ain't just by the skin of my teeth. I hope they some little gold and silver and precious stone come out of that fire. But I tell you what I am looking for.
If I can get past all that, it not be too bad. Him say, come apart and rest a while. Just sit down. Just sit down and rest from your journey and your labor and your hardship. Everything's okay. Because up here where I am, there is no betrayal. And there is no sin. And there are no hard hearts. And there are no misunderstood feelings. Amen. There are no more difficult days. Just sit down and rest a little while. Won't that be wonderful? Can you imagine that? Rest. Child of God, stay after it. Keep serving. You ain't serving? Get to serving. Find your place in the work of God. And stay faithful till Jesus comes again. Amen.